Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Heavy metal music blasts through the darkness of space. Following right behind this impossible sound is the intergalactic bounty hunter, Lobo, riding his motorcycle through the cosmos towards his next mark. It is then that Lobo smiles and arcs down to a planet's surface where Beta Ray Bill is helping rebuild a society that he just freed from tyranny. Beta Ray Bill looks up to the light coming from the heavens and knows deep down that trouble is coming. He grabs Stormbreaker and leaps up to meet his next challenge head on. It's the main man versus the mighty Thor. It's Bastich versus Corbinite. It's Lobo versus Beta Ray Bill. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stakanis. Why not? I think it was, let's try something different. Today's matchup, ladies and gentlemen, pits two titans from the Marvel and DC universe in one epic geek culture battle event. In one corner, you have Lobo, the main man from the DC universe, an intergalactic bounty hunter with an insane level of power and his own demented code of honor, by the way. And in the other corner, you have Beta Ray Bill, a Corbinite hero from Marvel Comics who wields his own enchanted hammer, Stormbreaker, after proving worthy of Thor's Mjolnir. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And this matchup has been hotly debated for decades, literally since the 90s, but never, and I mean never, has this battle come to a clear conclusion until today, that is. Ray, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
I, as always, am interested by this matchup. Both of us, this is a pretty easy sell in the boardroom this week. Usually there's a lot of back and forth. This one just sort of came up and I said, well, obviously Lobo can't lose to Beta Ray Bill. And you said, but obviously Beta Ray Bill can't lose to Lobo. And here we are to determine it once and for all. I am excited. I love both these characters. And I am excited to see this finally decided on the Who Would Win show. Now, this is the third time Lobo's been on the show. He's 1-1. Controversial, both decisions. And Beta Ray Bill is 1-0 on the show. So this is something's got to give here. Something's got to give.
You know, I feel the pressure because the first time Lobo was on the show, Ray was repping him. He got the loss to He-Man. Second time Lobo was on the show, I repped him. He got the win against Twilight Sparkle. First time Beta Ray Bill was on the show, I repped him, got him the win over a very, you know, well-debated Sinestro. Here's the thing. The pressure's on me. I've got to rep these characters. I've got to win with both of them. I'm not really sure how to do this. Look, today's matchup kind of has a WrestleMania main event feel to it. And when you have this kind of WrestleMania main event battle, when you have opponents who will have a fight that is equal parts entertaining and literally galaxy destroying, you need a judge who knows exactly how to oversee battles of this crazy level of magnitude. Making another appearance on the Who Would Win show is former writer for WWE SmackDown and WWE 2K current writer. It's the one and only Andrea Listenberger. Andrea, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to see who's going to finish the story today, Lobo or Beta Ray Bill.
It's going to be crazy. Look, before we get into this, tell the Legion of Audience, our faithful fan base, what you've been up to.
Well, we just launched very recently WWE 2K24. That's out in the wild. So I've just been bowled over by the reception that that game has been getting. We have a My Rise mode out. Again, that's, again, my baby, what I work on primarily on the game. So seeing fans play both the new storylines for 2K24 and the My Rise mode has been incredible. And, you know, we're already in the works for what's new and great and coming up that I can't talk to you about yet. But cool stuff coming down the pipeline as well.
I mean, this is a huge responsibility on your part because you've already been hitting it out of the park on a consistent basis. How do you deal? And this is just a real serious question. How do you deal with the pressure of like people coming to you and saying like, this game was amazing, best reaction ever. We can't believe how people are talking about it and playing it. We need more next year. What do you do with that?
Yeah, well, I mean, as you know, like wrestling fans and video games fans are both notoriously very chill and even tempered. So it hasn't been that hard of a big deal. No, but seriously, like we have an incredible team who have visual concepts behind the game. So we take the passion that's been coming at us and we all have that same passion internally. So, you know, we're there with them, and every year we just put out the best that we can, and it comes from a place of really genuinely wanting to do something good for the fans. And we've been lucky in that we haven't, you know, knock on wood, gotten hit by anything that takes us away from our goals. And I think that's what's really been resonating about these games recently, and hopefully will continue to resonate about the games. Like, for me, it's all about like giving them something to have fun with. Like, why do people pick them up in the first place? There's a lot of different reasons that people get into wrestling, and there's a lot of different things in the game. And I think there's something for everyone. So, you know, we always say like we are a lot of games within our game, a lot of modes. Some people pick it up for Universe. Some people pick it up for My Rise. I'm slightly biased towards that one. Some people pick it up for Showcase. But, you know, something for everyone. And our team's incredible. So
the one thing that I love that you said, other than pretty much everything, is the fact that you said, you know, we listen to the fans. We want the fans to have a great time. And I don't want to list any other large entertainment franchises, but, you know, not all of them listen to the fans and want to make the fans happy. I just think that is, I don't know, a novel approach to entertaining and creating content that maybe your philosophy should be heard and followed by many other Marvel and Star Wars. Listen to Andrea Listenberger is what I'm trying to say.
Well, she's got it. Here's the thing, James. It's very self-serving and selfish because I'm a fan and I want to have a good time as well. So when I'm writing, I think, what would I like to do? And what do I want to spend the next year of my life working on? And then that's usually what we end up doing.
Okay. I think that's great. And especially because, I don't know, you're such a big fan. You know the content. You know the history behind it. You've been following it. And that's how you can help serve fans as well. And for them to get a return on their investment of being such, you know, amazing fans throughout the decades. All I'm trying to say is I like the formula that you've put forward. Please keep doing it because, again, everyone else should be following your lead. And also, just awesome gameplay. Everyone's raving about it. Now, with all that being said, it's time to get today's kind of WrestleMania-style matchup between Lobo and Beta Ray Bill. Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's battle.
Representing DC Comics, the bounty hunter who blends right in at the gathering of the Juggalos, Lobo.
So true.
And representing Marvel Comics, the original mascot for Camel Cigarettes, Beta Ray Bill.
I don't think he's a camel. I think it's more of a horse.
Kind of looks like a camel. I don't know. It made me laugh.
That's fair. That's fair. Now, well done, Ray. Before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit www.whowouldwinstore.com to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts and merch. And now, let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Lobo.
Lobo is an intergalactic bounty hunter in the world of DC Comics. He was created by Roger Slifer and Keith Giffen and first appeared in the comic book Omega Men No. 3 back in 1983. Now, originally used as a run-of-the-mill alien villain, Lobo was reimagined in the 90s as kind of a parody of the dark and gritty stuff that was getting more popular in comics, most notably Wolverine and the Punisher. he ended up taking off in popularity with the crowd that loves dark and gritty stuff in comic books. Hey, who knew? Lobo is a bounty hunter with superhuman powers that lets him go toe-to-toe with Superman, and also is one of the most unkillable characters in the entire medium of comic books. Fun fact, as over-the-top with violence is expected in Lobo comics, did you know that he once took up a vow of non-violence? It's true. Lobo, in one storyline, became the Pope of the First Celestial Church of the Triple Fish God, and with that renounced all violence. But thankfully for us all, Lobo went on a massive fetch quest to bring the Emerald Eye of Ekron to the Great Fishy One, which allowed him to renounce his vow, and then in short order, he used that item to unalive the same Great Fishy One. Or as Lobo fans would call a story like that, Tuesday. And that is Lobo.
You gotta love Lobo for so many reasons.
Incredible.
I mean, not saying if Lobo was the Pope, I would convert. Look, I'm just saying.
Look, James, I'm just saying, look, whenever I think about Lobo, I think I want Momoa.
100%. 100%. Even though, yeah. All right, now here are the details for Beta Ray Bill. Beta Ray Bill was created by Walter Simonson and first appeared in Thor number 337 back in November of 1983. This will also be the version of the character I'll be repping in today's battle. Now, Beta Ray Bill's race, the Corbinites, were almost rendered extinct when their galaxy exploded due to the evil mega-powered demon Surtur. The remnants of the Corbinite race fled in a fleet of warships guarded by a dedicated and augmented champion, Beta Ray Bill. The mighty Thor is sent to intercept the surviving Corbinites as that their big ship is about to enter our solar system, and is often what happens between heroes when they first encounter each other. A titanic battle occurs between Thor and Beta Ray Bill. During the battle, Beta Ray Bill is somehow able to pick up Thor's hammer and gains the power of Thor. On discovering that Bill was worthy enough to pick up this hammer, Odin orders the making of a new hammer for Bill called Stormbreaker, equal in power to Mjolnir, with actually a whole bunch of additional things it can do. From that moment on, Thor and Beta Ray Bill consider themselves to be brothers, and Beta Ray Bill fights for his people as well as for those on Asgard. And here's an interesting fact about Beta Ray Bill. Did you know that Beta Ray Bill was already supposed to be in the MCU by now? It's true. As Thor Ragnarok was being developed, the idea of introducing Beta Ray Bill was brought up, and everyone, I mean everyone involved in the creative process of the film, lost their minds and wholeheartedly agreed. The script was written, the character of Beta Ray Bill was developed, and everything was set for him to make his Marvel Cinematic Universe debut until that fateful day when none other than Kevin Feige decided to take Beta Ray Bill completely out of the movie, as he felt the character wouldn't have a chance to be fully developed within the Thor Ragnarok storyline. By the way, if you're facepalming right now, you're not alone, because clearly both Black Panther and Spider-Man were beautifully introduced in the Captain America Civil War film. So all of this begs the question, if Kevin Feige was wrong about not introducing Beta Ray Bill in Thor Ragnarok, could some of his other decisions for the MCU also be incorrect? You know what? Let's let the fans decide, right? Andrea listed Burger. Thank you very much. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Andrea, do you have any questions before we get started?
No, I'm just ready to see some carnage. Let's get a fair fight.
Andrea, listen, I'm just trying to say something right now. If you decide to take over Disney and really herald the new development of Marvel and Star Wars, I think like all the fans everywhere, especially of those two fan bases, would go nuts for that. I think you're the person to lead the way. Disney, I hope you're listening. All right, Ray. With all that being said, please go ahead and hit us your point number one.
Point number one for Lobo. I'm going to open up slow with planet-destructing power. I'm going to talk about the gadgets that Lobo brings to battle, because Lobo is a scientific genius. You don't look at this guy and you think, wow, this guy can just build things like Reed Richards' Mr. Fantastic or Tony Stark's Iron Man, but he's probably better than both of them. He can build weapons on the fly. One time he made a gun with literal trash that was lying around, and that gun had the ability to destroy the planet. That's the kind of guy that Lobo is. Everything is big, it's loud, it's destructive, it's violent. That's Lobo in a nutshell. He makes bombs and has bombs that can just level cities if he needs to. But that's like the light stuff. That's like the O'Douls of his repertoire, because his normal stuff can eradicate planets. He's got incendiary grenades, which he used against the Martian Manhunter, who's afraid of fire. He uses whatever tools at his disposal he needs to get the result he wants.
Additionally, he's a guy who can just naturally sense and locate the weakest point on anything, whether that's a spaceship, whether that's a weapon, whether it's an armor, whether it's a body. He's going to be able to look at Beta Ray Bill and find the one spot that, if he hits that spot, puts Beta Ray Bill down for the count. And it's not like that's never happened before, but we'll get into that a little bit later, because I got to talk about his amazing motorcycle. He rides a motorbike called the Spaz Frag 666. Get it? It can go over several hundred million kilometers per hour. That's outrageous. That's ridiculous. It's exceptionally fast. It's so fast, in fact, that he was center of a black hole on his motorcycle, and he outran a black hole. He just drove out of there like nothing was happening to him at all. In fact, he was on a planet that was exploding, and his motorbike just took off. And it doesn't have to be on the ground, by the way. This is a space bike. Don't ask me how it works, but it just does. He was able to drive away from a planet while it was exploding and avoid the explosion while he was going. So he can move obnoxiously fast on this thing and in general. Also, it's like a horse. Like if you've seen like a Red Dead Redemption type game where you just whistle and your horse just sort of appears out of nowhere and then clops up to you. That's what he does. He whistles, and then the motorcycle, the Spaz Frag, just comes out of nowhere and just rolls right up to him. No problem. Also, it's tailored to him. Only Lobo can ride the motorcycle. So James, don't get any ideas that Beta Ray Bill's going to try to steal it like he stole Mjolnir. That's not how this reality works at all. Also, the bike can do things without Lobo even being there. It has automated defenses, chain guns, and other such weaponry. Just mows down crowds of people sometimes whenever it thinks it's about to get stolen, even though it can't get stolen. Go figure. So it's a motorbike that can actually fight on its own. So Beta Ray Bill's got more than just Lobo to worry about. He's got a motorcycle trying to kill him as well. Pretty exciting. And my other BA thing that Lobo likes to do, equipment-wise, is that he's often in the middle of a fight, and he's just tearing down some massively powerful hero or villain, and he just busts out a cigar right in the middle of combat. When he was fighting Martian Manhunter earlier, he pulled out a cigar and said, "Hey, why don't we just take a smoke break in the middle of all this?" And Martian Manhunter says, "No, I don't want to." And that's when the incendiary grenades came out, and that's when Martian Manhunter's day got much worse. But hey, Lobo needed a light, and that's my point number one.
All right, so it's not so much I'm pushing back on what you're saying about Lobo, but I just kind of have to clarify a few things. First of all, he's a smoker. Very unhealthy, just putting that out there. On top of that, Ray, you established that he likes to play in the trash like you do. That's cute, adorable. Look, Lobo is a genius, but what he doesn't do, what he's not known for, is doing something with his genius during a battle. You know, I don't want to get into too many details. I'm sure you'll bring him up. But Lobo's known that, you know, to do cool things when he has time and resources and can plan it out. And that's when he does something really, really big to take out a lot of people, when he has the time to do it. In the middle of a fight, you know, he's fighting Superman. He's not taking somehow figuring out how to make a device to take out Superman during the fight. That's just not something he does. And finally, I think he calls it his space hog, that space bike he has. I'll counter that with something that Beta Ray Bill doesn't really need, but he had it before he transformed into like the Thor-like character. It's a spaceship. It's a huge space battleship called the Scuttlebutt. Now, the Scuttlebutt has an AI that considers itself to be the sister of Beta Ray Bill. It'll call, you know, it comes from anywhere. It can travel many, many times faster than light speed. It's got shields. It's designed to take out complete alien armadas or superpowered beings that come and attack it, like the Silver Surfer or what have you. This thing is insane. I'll put the Scuttlebutt up against the Space Hog any day, anyway. It's just that's what I'm going to do. All right, but let me get to my point number one. For my point number one, let's talk about Beta Ray Bill's insane power and abilities. Look, I've said it before, but Beta Ray Bill is what you get when you give Master Chief the powers of Thor. In all areas of strength and power for Thor, increase that to another level, and that's actually officially what Marvel Comics says you have in Beta Ray Bill, someone who's actually stronger, more durable, and can outfight and outdo Thor at least slightly in every area. Okay, so like Thor, Beta Ray Bill is considered to be one of the most powerful beings in the Marvel Universe. universe. He's got the strength and durability of Superman, probably a little bit more because he doesn't have that whole kryptonite weakness. He possesses enough strength to crush entire moons with his fists and to shatter entire planets with the force of his punches. He's insanely durable. He can easily survive in the heart of the sun without any discomfort for as long as he needs to. And he can survive a point-blank range, powerful energy blast capable of destroying entire planets as if it was nothing. Bottom line, impact wounds, superpowered or supernatural swords, energy blast, all of them are these are just things that Beta Ray Bill can easily tank and just kind of move on from it. He even survived being between two black holes that were equally pulling at him at the same time. He just dealt with it. Didn't feel great, but he dealt with it, survived it, got out of there. When you can, you know, overcome the power of two black holes pulling you in opposite directions, you're an insanely powerful powerful being, I should say. Top of that, he's super fast. He's got super speed. He's got a super healing factor, and he's virtually immortal. He's got superhuman stamina. This is a fun one. He can actually fight at full capacity for years. Years. I don't think Lobo has that same level of stamina to do that because, again, fighting full blast for years at Thor level power is insane. More fun stuff. He can create hurricane-like winds with his breath in the same way Superman can, because why not? You know, Lobo can smoke a cigar. I can create a hurricane in my mouth. Whatever. All right, now speaking of winds and the weather, Beta Ray Bill can command the elements. He can control nature. He can create horrific lightning storms, tornadoes, hurricanes that can affect superpowered beings. And one cool fight while fighting an army of superpowered demons. Superpowered demons, not regular demons. Superpowered ones. Beta Ray Bill commanded super powerful lightning to come down and strike in every direction at the same time and took out the army of these super demons in seconds. Bottom line, anything Thor can do in terms of powers, Beta Ray Bill can do as well. However, that's actually not quite accurate. Turns out that Beta Ray Bill can slightly outdo all of Thor's physical powers, as I mentioned before. But here's where things get even more interesting. You got to remember, Beta Ray Bill was bioengineered by his race into this enhanced cyborg kind of creature with incredible fighting skills, as well as was given what was called like a cognitive enhancement. So that just means he's got tactical and fighting genius planted into his mind. It's a real thing. This is all on top of his desire for and love for fighting, by the way. Beta Ray Bill loves to fight, especially if it's against someone who he feels deserves to get beat. I guarantee you that's going to happen with Lobo. Now, just realize, Beta Ray Bill has enhancements for thinking faster, processing information faster, superhuman reaction speed and reflexes, superhuman agility, fighting genius, all before he got the power of Thor, which magnified everything exponentially, including especially his fighting ability. I'm going to expand on this later. Just keep in mind that Beta Ray Bill has beaten a lot of the heavyweights of the Marvel Universe by outfighting them in a one-on-one battle type of scenario. See, his fighting ability is so good that it even enabled him to take out the one god who's known for being the ultimate warrior of the Marvel Universe. More on that later. All of that is my point number one.
I mean, you're saying a whole lot of interesting things there, James. I'm sure if I was paying attention, I'd have more to say. Now, you said that Beta Ray Bill doesn't really like being hit by a black hole. That's interesting. He was uncomfortable, you said, by the black hole, because Lobo didn't even notice there was a black hole. He's so much tougher than Beta Ray Bill. Beta Ray Bill got an ouchie. Lobo did not. Lobo just took off out of there on his motorcycle and smoked a cigar laughing all the way. So please, that's fine. And you're right. Beta Ray Bill has gotten some good wins in the Marvel Universe. That is absolutely true. Now, he's also had a few losses as well, but I'm not going to get into them. It's too early in the battle for me to talk about that and talk about the ways that Beta Ray Bill has been beaten and the characters who've done it and how very similar in power to Lobo those characters are. But that being said, look, I'm a big fan of Beta Ray Bill. I think it's interesting that you're going with a pre-Thorification Beta Ray Bill. He was a tremendous fighter in his own regard, absolutely. But I think we both sort of sandbagged this point number one. I don't think the battle's going to get won or lost until much later.
I don't think you're wrong, but let's see what the judge has to say. Andrea Listenberger, tell us where your head is at so far after hearing that one point from both Ray and myself.
Yeah, this is a really interesting matchup between these two characters. I gotta say, if I'm gonna tip where my head is at now, I'm slightly more inclined. I'm intrigued by the strength of Beta Ray Bill, largely because I get the idea. I think one of the things that stood out to me, James, was how you were talking about how he really fights against someone who he feels he needs to beat, compared to how Ray brought up that, you know, Lobo is a little bit more, maybe more flippant, might be prone to taking out a cigar while he's fighting, which on one hand, as a fan, like, that's cool as right? That's very, very cool. But on the other hand, like, you might take your eyes off the prize or off the fight a little bit. So I'm interested to see where the battle goes next.
I think you hit it. You got to keep your eyes on the prize. I wonder if I'll bring this up later about, you know, how this affects Lobo. But shame we'll see, because this battle is heating up. We'll be right back for point number two.
The next chapter in the New York Times best-selling Last Kids on Earth series is here in The Last Comics on Earth, Too Many Villains. If you didn't know, The Last Kids on Earth is a graphic novel series from authors Max Brallier and Joshua Pruitt, where 13-year-old Jack Sullivan survives the zombie apocalypse in what's been called The Walking Dead meets The Simpsons. Yeah, you get it. It's bright, it's fun, and it's got an art style all its own. It's crazy. Now, in The Last Comics on Earth, our band of heroes are hard at work creating their own sequel, which of course is going to be bigger and crazier than anything ever seen before. I mean, we got supervillains, we got monsters, heck, we got a kaiju with a car head and hamburger feet who's named Steve. Yeah, this book has it all, and it carries the important Who Would Win Show stamp of approval. So if you'd like to check out this new book that also has a spin-off Netflix series, might I add, then let's make it happen. Buy your copy of The Last Comics on Earth in stores today. You can also visit lastkidsonearth.com and learn more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Ray, let's see what you got. Hit us with your point number two.
Point number two for Lobo, and this is where we start getting a little intense, because we're going to talk about his strength and his speed, along with some of his mental defenses. That's where we're about to go here, because he is unbelievably strong. This is a guy who broke a Green Lantern force field, right? He was building a construct, and you know Green Lantern, those constructs are very, very tough. He just overpowered a construct, and then grabbed that Green Lantern, threw him through a portal into Martian Manhunter. He hit a dude with another dude, and that will always get brought up in my mind. It is one of my favorite things that a character can do. But okay, that was just some like run-of-the-mill Green Lantern. It's not like he did that a tougher one like, you know, Guy Gardner. Oh, wait, he also broke Guy Gardner's force field construct and ran right through it. But that's okay. It's just Guy Gardner. It's not like he did it to the most powerful Green Lantern, Hal Jordan, with the immense... He also did it to Hal Jordan, breaking his force field, breaking his construct, and making it happen. In fact, it was said that Guy Gardner had to admit, he says, Lobo has more willpower in one of his fingers than I do in my entire body. And Green Lanterns are just a pure willpower being. So Lobo can absolutely crush mentally anybody. That's why he can be a little bit more flippant in battle, is because the toughness and the knowledge and the fighting ability is all right there, right? In fact, he's fast too. You know that Superman, I think we're all familiar with a guy named Superman. I don't know if I need to talk about the son of Krypton and his strength, speed, etc. Well, Superman said that Lobo was so fast in combat that he couldn't react to him. Superman said that Lobo was so fast, he could not react to him. This is Superman we're talking about. Outrageous. That's the level that Lobo's playing on, and that is a level one height above Beta Ray Bill. In fact, he's very strong. Look, he's got a power level and a strength that kind of varies from telling to telling. He goes from being generally very, very, very strong to Toon Force levels of strength. I'll explain a little bit. He KO'd Shazam. Shazam, James would argue, is a guy that could beat Superman roughly 40% of the time. They're very, very fast, strong, magic-based, whatever. Lobo knocked him unconscious. He's just a little boy, Lobo. Don't do that to him. And you talk about fast. You're talking about how fast Beta Ray Bill is. Well, Lobo took out a chain with a hook on it, spun it and threw it and picked off the Flash, who was running at Flash level speeds. In fact, he hooked him right through his forehead and yanked him down to the ground. The Flash. We're not talking about weak characters here. We're talking about the top creme of the DC universe, and Lobo ragdolls them. One time, he killed a man by spitting. He spit a loogie through the man's cranium, right through his head and out the back, and murdered him. And not just that, his mental defenses are strong as well. In case you have all this worthiness, blah, 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 blah. He resisted, besides the Guy Gardner thing, he resisted a character named BlackRock, who mind-controlled some of the greatest characters in the Justice League Avenger, Justice League of America, including Martian Manhunter, a mentally strong character. Lobo could not get overtaken by that power. And not just that, some clones of Lobo, not even Lobo, his natural self, clones resisted Starro's mind control. Remember that giant starfish monster from that Suicide Squad movie that could throw little starfishes that attach to people's faces? And, you know, mind-controlled Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, the whole crew, clones of Lobo, resisted Starro's mind control and would not be taken over. So when it comes to being mentally tough, I'm not going to say Beta Ray Bill isn't mentally strong, but again, Lobo, and all accounts, strength, speed, and willpower is just a head above in every category, and that's my point number two.
Time for some pushback. Okay, look, Lobo is definitely a physical powerhouse, Superman-class powerhouse, not taking that away from Lobo whatsoever. However, you know, Lobo's definitely fast. Is he insanely fast? Is he super speed fast? I don't think so. I think he's a good brawler. Superman's a good brawler as well. So that's how he caught Superman by surprise. And, you know, if he's so fast and such a good fighter and can do all this kind of stuff, why was Batman able to avoid his punches and his attacks, like literally in a physical confrontation, stay out of reach, and then hit him in the neck with something? And it actually hurt Lobo. I just don't know. The power scaling just doesn't add up all the time. Lobo seems to be really inconsistent. It's almost like he just doesn't take things as seriously as he should at times. More on that later. You know, Lobo did tag the Flash with that hook. That was kind of gross and awesome at the same time. Here's the problem. Do that to Beta Ray Bill. Remember, he's invulnerable. He's got Thor, actually slightly higher than Thor level durability. It's just not going to work the same way, although it'll be fun to watch. And by the way, in terms of mind control, fun fact, Lobo was actually hypnotized, and he was hypnotized by a human being without superpowers. More on that later, just putting that out there, because I got to get to my point number two. My point number two, let's talk about the weapons and what Beta Ray Bill is capable of. Okay, so Beta Ray Bill's hammer, it's known as Stormbreaker. It's just as durable as Thor's hammer Mjolnir, but also has some additional powerful abilities. We'll get to that in a second. So the hammer itself, Stormbreaker, enables Beta Ray Bill to fly, and he can fly at light speed, and he can also fight at light speeds as well, which is something Lobo has a very difficult time with when Superman actually does that to him and unloads. This is the guy who fought the Silver Surfer, someone who travels at warp speed, something that's incrementally way faster than light speed, and he kept up with Silver Surfer, and they were fighting at that speed throughout the cosmos. It was awesome. Of course, when Beta Ray Bill throws a hammer, it returns to his hand every time. He can call to it in the same way. If it's just lying somewhere, he can call to him. Fun way that Beta Ray Bill can actually beat Lobo, he can just put the hammer on Lobo. The hammer drops through him or drops on him into the ground. Lobo's not worthy enough to carry it. He could just kind of keep him there for 2 minutes and actually win according to who would win rules. Now, the really cool thing about this hammer is even if it's somehow transported back in time or to another area in space, whatever, it can break through dimensions, travel through time. It will get back to Beta Ray Bill when he calls for it. It's a fun thing. Now, being a hammer and axe combo, because remember, it's not just a hammer. One side's a hammer. The other side is this insane axe-looking thing. It's a great melee weapon. He's an expert at using it. It's kind of like, you know, you got to keep in mind, he's one of the greatest warriors, if not the greatest warrior in the Marvel Universe, and he's got the ultimate weapon that he knows how to use like a martial arts master. This thing can actually absorb, magnify, and return almost any type of force and energy, including kinetic energy. So if Lobo punches, you know, his thing, whatever it is, or he blocks it, he's going to absorb that energy, and he can actually use it to, you know, shoot energy blasts with that energy back at whatever's coming at him. Speaking of energy blasts, it can shoot really, really powerful planet-destroying concussive blasts of energy and power at his command. It's just something we've seen Thor do. Beta Ray Bill can do the same way, and he's really good. Keep in mind, this is something he used to hurt Galactus and actually start damaging Galactus's armor. Galactus, remember, is a threat to the galaxy, eats planets, you know, kind of a heavy hitter, but there's so much more. Stormbreaker is able to create powerful force fields that are powerful enough to protect Beta Ray Bill from any type of explosion, whether it's a planet being exploded, a star system being exploded, whatever it is, the force field can protect him. It can also absorb incredible amounts of power and then redirect, as I mentioned before, against planet-sized opponents known as the Celestials. These things are actually the size of planets. Stormbreaker was able to literally pull out their energy, these galactic giants, and absorb it into his own. Why couldn't it do the same thing with Lobo, by the way? On top of that, Beta Ray Bill can open portals using his hammer and then use the porters to teleport himself instantly or teleport others anywhere in the universe, or wait for it, into any other dimension. He can also just tap into the power of Stormbreaker and teleport instantly away, kind of like how Nightcrawler of the X-Men does. He can also open wormholes and travel between two points nearly instantly. Look, this is how he goes to Asgard right away. He just creates a portal or wormhole from here to Asgard, which is another dimension, and just goes through it. But it gets crazier. Beta Ray Bill was able to teleport a crazy, unstable, very dangerous black hole that was threatening billions of lives to a remote place. It was so remote, there was no matter for it to absorb within a million light years. Listen, if he can do that, he can teleport a black hole, you know, to Lobo, or put Lobo into a black hole. This is going to be a lot of fun. And there's so much more. When he was fighting this creature called Ego the Living Planet, Beta Ray Bill teleports away just for a second and then teleports back instantly with a giant planet-sized asteroid, which then crashes into and just absolutely obliterates Ego the Living Planet. Fun fact, Stormbreaker can also heal Beta Ray Bill super fast from almost any type of energy. That's on top of his healing factor. It can create storms and lightning and manipulate weather, somehow even in space. He can weaponize lightning, direct it at any attack he wants. Remember, this is, you know, weather that can actually be so powerful it can hurt Thor. This is really cool. He can conjure what is called the fires of Muspelheim. I don't even know if that's the right way to pronounce it. These are flames that can burn for thousands of years, severely burn and hurt Thor, and can somehow burn super hot even in space. This stuff just vaporizes super powerful Thor-like beings. And on top of all that, Stormbreaker enables Beta Ray Bill to travel at the speed of light, gives him the same level of speed for Beta Ray himself. I mentioned this before. This is crazy. And there's one last thing he can do. Stormbreaker provides him with the power of resurrection. If somehow Beta Ray Bill is killed or destroyed, Stormbreaker can focus its power and bring him back to life, because Stormbreaker is now tied and is a fighting partner to Beta Ray Bill. All of this is really crazy because he's, you know, someone who knows how to weaponize this. Remember, at the end of the day, his essence, he's that Master Chief augmented being who already knew how to fight, was a tactical genius, and now you're giving him this crazy weapon that Odin gave to him as well, made of Uru metal from this is insane. This is why Beta Ray Bill is the ultimate warrior of the Marvel Universe. That is my point number two.
Wow, you had a lot to say there, James. I wish any of it meant anything. Now, look, I have a lot of stuff to talk about here. You're talking about Beta Ray Bill opening portals. And that was shocking because that never came up in any of my research of him. I've gone on several different pages to look up his power set. Portals and wormhole creation is not listed anywhere, including Marvel's own wiki. So obviously, if there were portals involved, then he was using outside tricks. Maybe Heimdall was opening something for him. And of course, there is no outside interference in a Who Would Win show. But I want to go back to the previous point. When you talked about your giant ship, the Scuttlebutt, that's a great name for a ship, by the way. If much like the Imperial destroyers in Star Wars couldn't really do much against the X-Wings that were kind of flying around in the trenches, it's the same deal. Lobo on a bike is going to run circles around a gigantic ship and destroy it from the inside out. He's going to go through the hull, destroy the insidey places, and destroy. I would love to see that, because the chip is too big to manage a small threat like Lobo, small and powerful. Now, Batman didn't actually beat Lobo physically. I thought you were kind of tweaking the knob a little on that one. When Batman hung with him a little bit, he was wearing a super-powered Hulkbuster-style suit. Didn't mention that at all, did you, James? Also, he didn't really even beat him. He hit him a couple of times, and then Lobo overpowered him over and over and over again. And yes, Batman, in a weirdly written story, pulled out a shiny metal disc and said, "You're hypnotized." And Lobo goes, "I guess I'm hypnotized." It was weird. It was a one-off, and it wasn't very good. And the last thing is the hammer. You can say he's going to put the hammer on top of Lobo and hold him to the ground. These are two characters who fight in space and do almost all of their fighting in space. If there's no direction of gravity, then putting a hammer on him is not going to do anything at all.
Two things real quick, Ray. That's not the only time Lobo and Batman actually fought. And on top of that, yes, Beta Ray Bill does make portals just like Thor does, but Beta Ray Bill does that a whole lot more. Now, with all of that being said, we are now at the turning point. Andrea, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
Oh, you know, at this point, I think Beta is still slightly ahead of Lobo. Lobo's definitely ahead in the cooler than factor, but in the winnering then factor?
It's
yes, those are words.
That was a thing.
Beta's slightly ahead. I feel like for Lobo to really pull it out, you know, hearing some really, really strong instances of how in a physical head-to-head or otherwise, if not physical, confrontation, what is Lobo going to pull out? Because I think there's some really good examples of things that he's done in the past. I think there's some really good examples of how he is a very, very, very cool dude. But I think some of the points brought about Beta in terms of the weapons and some of the specific things that he would bring to the fight with Lobo have been slightly more convincing at this point. Although it's still close. It could still be anyone's game. It's not locked and loaded for me yet.
Interesting. And Andrea, you know, this is the funny thing. I've been ahead so often at point number two, and then Ray somehow pulls out the win. So I'm not counting any chickens yet, so to speak. This battle is really getting insane. Stay tuned for point number three. And we're back. Ray, let's see what you got, because I need to see it. Hit us with your point number three.
Point number three is a two-parter, because we're going to talk about his intense regeneration, as well as some of the craziest things that he has done that I hope will push this over the edge, because nobody has a better regeneration than Lobo, not Wolverine, not Deadpool. These are all characters that Lobo is sort of a parody of. Think of Lobo a little bit as the One Punch Man of his time. He was made to make fun of a trope, and he does it by dominating that trope and not taking it seriously. And it's that level that we're talking about right here. In that, I don't know how Beta Ray Bill keeps Lobo down either, because Lobo can regenerate from purely being a skull back to a full-on Lobo in seconds. Seconds from a skull to a person. And in fact, he only needs to have one drop of blood left somewhere to fully regenerate back into a full Lobo and do it very, very quickly. But that's not the only trick his blood can do. Oh no, every drop of blood that you spill from Lobo can regenerate itself into a new Lobo, creating a massive pile of clones of Lobo who will all fight everybody who's there. And it becomes a real mess, but a real fun mess at the end of the day. And Lobo, if he gets debilitated, it doesn't matter. Lobo had his head disintegrated at one point, and it did not slow down his fighting ability whatsoever. You don't need a head when you're the main man. And he once got hit with a planet-destroying missile, literally, to create an extinction-level event on a planet. And he was fine. Nothing happened to him. Superman drilled him straight on with his heat vision. And Lobo said it tickles a little bit. This is all that's happening. He cannot be hurt. Beta Ray Bill cannot physically hurt Lobo. And even if he does, he comes back right away and keeps on fighting in no time at all. How is he going to keep him down for 2 minutes, I ask you? I don't know. Some of the weirder things that Lobo has done, though, and this is where it gets a little tune-forcey, this is where it gets pretty fun. He once casually remarked that he accidentally time-traveled, went back in time and accidentally dropped a bomb that killed the dinosaurs and then came on back. Oops, I did that. My bad. High five a T-Rex. Also, intangibility doesn't matter whether you're fighting somebody like a Vision or somebody who can make themselves go immaterial, because Lobo once punched a ghost. A ghost tried to step to Lobo and said, I don't know why I would even be scared of you. I'm a ghost. I can't be hurt physically. And Lobo says, is that right? And punches him in the nose, hurting him. Outrageous. And let's get to the crazy ones now, because Lobo got himself kicked out of both heaven and hell. He cannot be taken to the afterlife because he did die early in his career, went down to hell, and raised so much ruckus that they kicked him out, saying, the powers of hell can't contain you. So heaven went, I guess we'll take you. But he didn't stop. He kept going. And so heaven and hell made a pact saying, no one take this guy. He is functionally immortal. We don't want him. He's too much trouble. He fought two characters named God and Dave. These are two reality-warping characters who created their own universe. They are gods, created their own universe, right? Invited Lobo to it so that they could see what he could do. And he murdered both of them while resisting their reality-warping powers. They have the power to create a universe, but when it came time to altering Lobo, they couldn't do it, and he killed them. He also absolutely bodied Superman in a fight. And that's not just one fight. He takes it to Superman. He treats Superman like a ragdoll. He grabbed him in a headlock and just kept smashing his head into a wall while making fun of him repeatedly. And there's nothing that Superman, the Man of Steel, 8 quadrillion ton strength Superman, couldn't do anything when Lobo had him in a headlock. When Lobo has Beta Ray Bill in a headlock, he's going to pop that head clean off of him. And the last things to mention, he did what we thought impossible. Lobo killed Santa Claus. Lobo killed the Merry Man himself because the Easter Bunny hired him to do so. I've been trying to kill Santa Claus in this show for 6 seasons. Lobo did it in a comic book. Outrageous. That's a character who you just don't mess with unless you're the most powerful. And finally, the greatest thing that Lobo ever did in my mind, he took an entire city and then he rolled it up like a Katamari Damacy and he crushed it to a tiny little ball. An entire New York City style city. He just rolled it up and then ate it. He ate a city after crushing it in his hands. Where is Beta Ray Bill even coming from that this is even matchable? So how is he going to beat Beta Ray Bill? He's going to grab him and he's going to squish him in his hands until he's the size of a little tiny ping pong ball. And then he's going to eat him. And that will keep him down for 2 minutes and that will win this fight. And that's my point number three.
Race to Canis. Okay, let me kind of talk about this. You know, there's a lot of great stuff about Lobo. First of all, that whole thing where he can regenerate from, you know, just a drop of blood. And if there's many drops of blood, then they all become clones of Lobo. That was something that happened probably about, I'd say, 16 years ago. And then since then, there's been the reboot of DC Comics, the New 52, which sucked. And then there was Rebirth, where Lobo kind of came back into his original self. Him having a drop of blood, then turning those into that hasn't been part of his continuity for quite some time. On top of that, even if that was something, Beta Ray Bill, one thing that's really cool about him, he's very complete and very thorough. This is someone who likes to vaporize every part of his opponents down to their molecular structure, as in there's nothing left. There could be a choice, or a chance, I should say, where there's no blood left of Lobo at the end of this battle to regenerate from. Sure, Lobo has done some pretty cool stuff against Superman in fights, and that's kind of at the beginning, and again, probably about 15, 18 years ago. In the last 10 years, anytime Lobo's really wanted to kind of take on Superman, if they, you know, they did fight, Superman took it to Lobo, and on top of that, there's some instances, which I'll talk about soon, where Lobo actually back down from fighting Superman because he just didn't feel it was a good idea and a good, you know, way to spend his time. It just wasn't worthwhile to him. You know, many feats of Lobo's, by the way, are now really not considered canon. They're rolling up a city and taking a bite out of it. Anything that kind of defies physics and is kind of cartoony, like when he fought, you know, Santa Claus and killed him, which was fun, but not too cool. Not really considered part of his ongoing canon, and that's kind of a thing the DC Universe kind of knows about about Lobo right now. Now, let me get to my point number three. My point number three, let's discuss Beta Ray Bill's wins, Lobo's biggest weaknesses, and how this fight's going to go down. Look, in terms of victories, Beta Ray Bill has quite a few impressive ones. He's beaten Thor. He beat Thor before he got the upgrade in power by picking up Mjolnir, by the way. That's right. He beat Thor one-on-one just as his regular engineered and augmented Master Chief self. Now, in a second encounter with Thor, where Thor had the benefit of experience from the previous battle, they fought again. It was insane. They went all out and both seemingly were knocked out. However, it was Beta Ray Bill who recovered first and stood up and actually saved Thor from being killed at the time. That's a cool way to win. On top of that, Beta Ray Bill, he's beaten Loki a number of times, and he beat Loki by being able to see through his schemes and deceptions and by outthinking. Look, if you can outthink Loki, your mind is working on a different level. Pretty sure you can figure out what Lobo's about to do. He's beaten Gladiator. Now, this is a character who's a Superman kind of analog. He's one of the most powerful beings in the Marvel Universe. This was a straight-up one-on-one battle where Beta Ray Bill just used his warrior training and fighting ability to take him out completely. It was a lot of fun. He beat possibly the most powerful being in the Marvel Universe. There's a character named the Sentry, someone who could literally destroy the universe, regardless of reality warping, what have you. This is someone who could do it all. And after an insane battle, Beta Ray Bill beat him by opening a portal to another dimension and forcing him through it. This is someone named Senshi who has the power of a million exploding suns, and that's how Beta Ray Bill beat him, by pushing him through a portal to another dimension. Look, if you can do that to him, he's doing it to Lobo. Another fun fact, Beta Ray Bill was beating Galactus in a fight really badly until the fight got interrupted by the Silver Surfer, who transported Galactus away from Beta Ray Bill to save him. That's crazy. But in terms of power, you got to remember that Beta Ray Bill, he's still an augmented engineered being, and part of his augmentation includes safeguards that help Beta Ray Bill regulate his power, because remember, he's leading his people away from this galaxy that got destroyed by this demon Surtur, and he's like, I don't want to hurt them, so I've got safeguards in place to keep everything under control. And here's the deal. He knows, as you know, the Thor-like being, he knows how to get rid of those safeguards, which means he triples his power. That's right. Beta Ray Bill baseline is one third of how powerful he is, and that's who he beats all of those people. He gets rid of the safeguards, which he can just use, you know, his augmented cybernetics, and now he's three times as powerful. Have fun with that, Lobo. Look, there's another reason why Beta Ray Bill is winning this fight, and that's because of Lobo's weaknesses, and he's got two. First of all, Lobo is insanely, insanely overconfident, and this overconfidence makes him lose so many battles that he really should have won, because he just constantly underestimates his opponents. It got so bad that Batman had to sit him down and have a talk with him about this. When Batman has to sit you down because, hey, your overconfidence is killing you in fights, you got a problem. Lobo is also going to walk away from a fight if he feels it's not worth his time. Look, he did this already with Superman, I explained before. He walks away from fights if he's like, I just don't think this is worth my time. I'm not getting paid. And here's the thing. If he's getting paid to collect a bounty and he makes a promise and he keeps his word, guess what? He's going to stay, but he's not getting paid in this fight. Really, he's just there. He's like, this is going to be fun. And all of a sudden, he's going to be like, you know what? This isn't that much fun. I'm getting out of here, which is something he's done before. Remember, Lobo's got some really interesting, losses he's got on his table. Look, I already mentioned he lost to Batman through hypnotism. He lost to Batman another way, where Batman hit him with a syringe in the neck. A regular syringe would put exploding nanobites into his neck to blow up his head if he had to. And I don't know if that's necessarily a win, but how was Batman able to take a regular syringe and puncture Lobo's skin with it? That just doesn't make sense to me, because that's something that would never work against Beta Ray Bill. Speaking of Guy Gardner, Ray Sicanus, this is when Guy Gardner didn't have his Green Lantern power. He had this other kind of power. It was just called the Warrior. Interesting name, by the way. And Green Lantern actually beat Lobo in a fight. Beat him so bad, he actually knocked Lobo out and won the fight. Thought that couldn't happen, but it did. Look, on top of all this, he can't fly. He doesn't have a way to protect himself from being removed from battle. And he's got, you know, he can't fight against interdimensional teleportation or wormholes being able to push through. And he's also got this really big weakness against supernatural beings. There's one creature called Etrigan the Demon. This is someone with superhuman level strength who can shoot out fire from his mouth. He burned Lobo really, really badly, beat the heck out of him. And that's another thing. Who's supernatural and can shoot crazy power and electricity and all that kind of good stuff? That's Beta Ray Bill. Look, I can go into way more detail, but put all of this together with wins over Thor and Gladiator and Sentry and, you know, Galactus, for gosh sake, and Beta Ray Bill is beating Lobo in a really fun fight. That's my point number three.
I mean, that's fine. I got a lot to say. I'm just going to get right to it right here. I love how James says, Ray, you're using examples of Lobo from only 15 to 18 years ago. That's just not soon enough to use. Not like my Batman versus Lobo example from 24 years ago. Oh, sure, James. It's funny how 15 to 18 years is too far in the past, but 24 years is perfectly fine. You are a hypocrite in the worst offender category. Now, Beta Ray Bill absolutely has his losses. Lobo is often set up to be the villain. He's the unstoppable villain in many hero comics. They have to figure out a way around. You notice that very rarely do they take him out physically. They have to result in some sort of weirdness in order to get through him. Now, Beta Ray Bill, on the other hand, has some losses. He's lost to this character named Gladiator, who is sort of like a weaker version of Superman. And he has also lost to the Silver Surfer with the Cosmic Power, another very powerful character, of course. And he didn't lose to them by trickery or weird writing. He lost to both these characters because they thumped him. They punched him real hard and he fell down and he lost. That's how Beta Ray Bill acts when facing up against some of the most powerful characters of the Marvel Universe. When Lobo meets very powerful characters in the DC universe, they have to try to trick him. because they cannot overpower him. They cannot punch him and knock him to the ground and watch him bleed while they say, please stop fighting me, which is what happens with Beta Ray Bill. That's the thing. In an overpowering contest, Lobo wins against Beta Ray Bill 10 times out of 10. And you said to yourself, James, have fun with that, Lobo. Well, you know, he will. Lobo will absolutely have fun with whatever Beta Ray Bill's throwing at him. The electricity's not really going to do anything to him either. Stop it. Because he has Toon Force. Lobo essentially has himself some Toon Force. That's how he's able to roll things up in a ball and eat them in a city and go and kill Santa Claus because the Easter Bunny told him. Because he has a level of parody character Toon Force, whereas Beta Ray Bill is a much more serious, grounded, powerful character. And I'll take the goofy guy who can break the laws of physics to the one who has to stay in some sort of physical realm every single time. Look, it takes weird writing decisions to beat Lobo in the comic books, and it'll take a weird judge decision here today to beat Lobo on the Who Would Win show.
All good stuff. Look, Andrea, you've heard 3 points for both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision. But before we get to what Andrea has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win patron of the week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Who Would Win show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today, we have a very special patron. I believe one of our newer patrons just popped in. Somebody named Hawkface.
Hawkface. All right. I like
Hawkface. Hawkface is here. It's your day in the sun, Hawkface. Get ready.
You know what? I'm inspired. I don't know why. Let's have Hawkface go up against a tag team today. Let's have Hawkface go up against Frankenstein and the Wolfman.
Well, this is crazy because Hawkface, of course, has all the powers of Hawkman, but elevated. But just on his face, the rest of his body is a regular person, but he has Hawkman's nth metal covering his face like a Destro mask from G.I. Joe. Now he's facing up against, you said, Frankenstein and the Wolfman from classic Universal movies. Those are great. So what ends up happening here is that the two of them kind of skulk out, you know, in kind of darkness and shadows, and they're coming out from behind their castles and their wheat fields, and Hawkface is going to turn. Why? Because his eyes. He has the eyes of a hawk. He can see him coming a mile away because he's got Hawkman facial powers. Now, what's going to end up happening here is that they're going to sneak up on him. They're going to still get right behind him, but they aren't really. He's letting them think they are, because as soon as they get close enough to go, like they would do, he all of a sudden uses not nth metal, mth metal. The M is better than N, I think. And so he uses mth metal in his face to suddenly colorize the world. And when Frankenstein and the Wolfman are taken out of a black and white environment, they will head for the hills because they are overwhelmed and don't know what to do. Great job, Hawkface. You beat some universal monsters.
Well done. Well done, Hawkface. Hey, before we go any further, Ray, can you repeat what the sounds were for both Frankenstein and Wolfman?
No, I cannot.
Fair enough. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Andrea, it's time for your decision. Look, take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Lobo and Beta Ray Bill.
Well, it's interesting because this ultimately came down to one thing that one person said. Because as you know, this was a very tight contest. I think in reality, I think they'd both probably win, because neither one would lose. But that's not the show that I'm judging on. So we're not going to even talk about that. Near the end of point three, Ray said something very interesting. Ray Cicada said, Lobo will have fun with whatever Beta throws at him. And you know what? After all the arguments that Ray put out in points one, two, and three, I think that's very, very true about Lobo. If he can kill Santa Claus, if he can kill God and Dave, if he can roll up things, if he can and eat him and, you know, go around on his motorbike, I think he's going to have a lot of fun with whatever Beta Ray Bill throws his way. But I think ultimately, because of that, that's also going to be his undoing, because I think Beta Ray Bill will come in with more of the fortitude to stick to it and to take him out throughout the fight itself. And I think ultimately that's why I have to give a slight edge to Beta Ray Bill in the fight and ultimately declare him the victor in this matchup.
And there you have it. An amazing decision. A very tough battle. This is someone I've mentioned before. Andrea Listenberger should be not writing. She should be taking over Marvel, DC, Sega, Star Wars, everything, because she actually looked through everything and said, hey, this needs to be a fight that entertains the fans, but also that rewards the fans. And the best way you can do it is have Beta Ray Bill have the win after a very entertaining fight over Lobo. I got to tell you, this is why I was so excited to have you on as a judge, because I knew you would see the facts. I knew you'd see how entertaining it was and you'd make the right decision. But with that being said, Ray, you did a great job. You represented Lobo really, really well. You should be proud of yourself. How do you feel right now knowing that you still lost?
I have no idea what just happened in front of me. And I saw it like an oncoming train in my dreams while my foot was stuck on the tracks. I have no idea how Lobo failed to find his groove in a matchup against a moose with horns. I don't understand it whatsoever. Stormbreaker, that weapon was destroyed. I forgot to even talk about it, but it didn't matter. It did just because Lobo is having fun. Lobo's having a good time. He's having a good time because he always wins. And he can't be hurt. Well, he can be hurt, but he can't be put down. The point I'm trying to make is I'm apoplectic right now with rage and sadness and five other words that'll get me canceled. So I'm just going to stop talking.
In other words, Andrea did her job. Fantastic.
There's always next year, Ray. I mean, just look at Cody Rhodes. Like, he might have another shot.
Cody Rhodes.
Maybe.
We're going to take Dusty Rhodes' less talented son and ride him into the sunset. Look, I'm calling you out, Cody Rhodes. Next WrestleMania, I'll take you on. Really, I'm just trying to get myself on any WrestleMania for any reason whatsoever.
You know what? I'm sure this will happen in some
way,
shape, or form.
I will train physically for that match.
You'll come to the gym.
That's how serious I am. I would actually train. I would actually go back and get in shape again at James Gavsey's gym. But obviously, I don't know if Cody Rhodes is a listener, but if he is, congratulations. I got next.
Wow. All right, Andrea Lissaver, you did such a great job. Thank you so much for bringing everything that you did for today's episode. Please come back really soon. In the meantime, tell our legion of fan base, our faithful fan base, where they can find you online.
Yeah, the best place to find me is on Twitter, which is what I will probably always call it, at Andrea_ML. I post there sporadically. You can find links to some of my stuff. And my random thoughts at late hours of the evening.
I love it. All right. Ray Cicadas, again, great effort. You came up a little short. I know how that feels. Tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you.
Bitter comes in many forms.
Here we go.
Some would say that bitter can be found in a flavor, or bitter can be found in an emotion, emotionally bitter. And some people would say bitter could even become sweet, as in bittersweet. I don't know where I'm going with this point, but the important thing to say here is that I don't feel good about this decision whatsoever. As much as I respect the acumen of our judge today, I do not believe the case was made for how Lobo would actually lose this fight. And I argue that if you're still on that social media site, what did you call it? Twitter? Twine? I don't remember.
Tweety, I think?
If you're still on the Tweety, I want you to absolutely make your feelings felt. Someday we're going to get a Threads account and bring Who Would Win Show up to date on social media. And maybe this week will be the week just so we can talk, because I'm on Threads at AlmightyRay316 and Instagram. I finally started using it, the picture thing. And I put thoughts in there in the form of pictures because I don't know how to use it. So enjoy that, IG.
Wow. You can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsey. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group. It is growing like crazy. Join it to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing
community. We have to ban at least 10,000 people
weekly. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Cicadas, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and loved listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
Sup, everyone. Brian here, host of the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast. It's a trivia-style podcast focusing on TV and movies. Listen in for questions like, what's the name of Michael Scott's screenplay? What do you say to view the Marauder's map? What are Tony Stark's last words to Thanos in Avengers Endgame? And where does Ron Burgundy say he is when he calls the news station sobbing from a phone booth? I've covered The Office, Harry Potter, Marvel, Will Ferrell movies, Lord of the Rings, and more, with even more on the way. So play along to the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast anywhere you get podcasts, and stay tuned for more trivia.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.